Pulitzer Prize-winning author Alice Walker. We spoke on the 30th anniversary of the publication of her book, The Color Purple. And that does it for our year-end special. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Felsar, and Mate Nermin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sanal Kapani Masood, Ravi Karan, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Martinez DeRosa, and Nemo Allen. If you'd like a copy of today's show, you can go to our website at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Democracy Now!
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. That program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, the 1st of January, the 1st of 2013. Is that the right way to say it? 2013, 2013, how are we supposed to say this year? 2013, I think, is the right way. Okay. It'll be a lot more simple when we get to the 20s, and then we can say, oh, we're in the 20s now. I guess we're in the teens. Yeah, we're officially in the teens, aren't we? 2013. 2012 wasn't a teen, was it? So, okay, now the decade has sort of a name, because the one before this had no name at all. I never got used to calling it the aughts, or whatever people said the proper phrase was. We're slowly getting back into normalcy. 2013, wow. Ain't that something? Okay, well, you know, there are certain milestones, things that happen, personal and global. Well, here's a milestone that I'm sure everybody is talking about right now. It's probably the most important one. And, of course, it just fell off the screen. Okay, there it is. In Colorado. Yeah, Colorado. Guess what is now legal? Yes, the same thing that became legal in Washington State last month is now legal in Colorado. But we're not allowed to say what it is because that's not legal. No, I'm just kidding. Although it says stupid a rule. It really is. But here's the deal. Reggae music was pumping in the background. There were flashing disco-style lights. And members of the Recreational Pot Club lit up in celebration of the new year, and a new place to smoke legally among friends. Club 64. Why is it called that? Club 64, in an industrial area just north of downtown Denver, opened at 4:20 p.m. on Monday with, I guess, New Year's Eve. It was legal then. Must have been, hopefully. With some 200 people signed up. The opening came less than 24 hours after organizers announced that they would charge a $29.99 admission price for the Bring Your Own Pot Club. Yeah, the private pot dens popped up less than a month after Colorado's governor signed into... Okay, I guess I'm wrong. I guess it became legal last month. Less than a month after Colorado's governor signed into law a constitutional amendment allowing recreational pot use. And, okay, and here's the explanation. I should read these stories first. Club 64 gets its name from the number of the amendment. Okay, I'm all caught up now. The Colorado's marijuana amendment prohibits public consumption, and smoke-free laws also appear to ban indoor smokeouts. But Club 64 attorney Robert Corey said private pot dens are permissible because marijuana isn't sold, nor is it food or drink. Well, that's open to question among some people. But the club owner said the pot club would meet monthly at different locations with the $29.99 membership fee good for only one event. You know, I'm not sure this is that great a deal. I mean, why spend $29.99 when you can smoke by yourself for free? You know, just the cost of whatever it is that you get. On Monday, the pot club was meeting in a hemp-based clothing store near downtown. Hooded sweatshirts and backpacks were shoved to a corner. And in the main area, a few small tables sat next to a screen showing the Big Lebowski. A bar decorated with blue Christmas lights handed out sodas and Club 64's official snacks, which are, of course, Goldfish and Cheetos. The snacks were inspired by California Governor John Hickenlooper. I'll say that again. Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, who warned marijuana users the night of the marijuana vote, don't break out the Cheetos or Goldfish too quickly. Corey said the pot clubs are intended for people who can't use marijuana at home because of local ordinance or because their landlords threaten eviction. It's just a place for adults to exercise their constitutional rights together. It's good to hear that phrase used in a non-stupid way. It really is. Where people actually are doing something that harms nobody. And it's really a big waste of time as far as regulation and constant prosecution. Finally, we seem to be taking some steps. And this is probably one of the most positive ones. Of this year, anyway. So far. Now, there's that other story you might see floating around, and that's that whole fiscal cliff nonsense. I've tried to get my head around this a bunch of times, and it just doesn't seem to take. You've got this whole fiscal thing going on where something isn't agreed to by everybody, and the Republicans are keeping things from moving forward, as always. And the result is that after a particular time, which supposedly we're in right now, taxes are going to go way up and everything is going to be cut so that all these services will no longer exist and there'll be austerity everywhere. So what I just don't get is if everyone's taxes are skyrocketing, where is that money going? Where exactly, what's it paying for if everything's being cut? I mean, I imagine it has something to do with not ratcheting up the debt even more. But anyway, here's the latest. Last-minute efforts to step back from the fiscal cliff. And I am so tired of that word, or that combination of words. Last-minute efforts ran into trouble today as Republicans in the House of Representatives balked at a deal that would prevent Washington from pushing the world's biggest economy into a recession. The House Republicans, this is after the Senate Republicans voted overwhelmingly for it. House Republicans, and you know, you can't blame the House Republicans. You can't. It's just like you can't blame a snake for biting you, assuming it's the kind of snake that does bite in the first place. They're just doing what they do. We're the idiots who put them in control, we being the American people. And despite all the anger, despite all the frustration year after year and saying these people are just idiots preventing things from moving forward and basically stymieing any effort to do anything good, despite all that, they keep getting reelected, or carbon copies take their place. So we're the ones that really need a good kick in the ass. Maybe this will do it. House Republicans complain that a bill passed by the Senate in a late-night show of unity to prevent a budget crisis contained tax hikes for the wealthiest Americans, but no spending cuts. Well, you know, maybe maybe those two things are connected. Maybe if you hike taxes for the wealthiest of Americans, you don't need to have spending cuts. There's a lesson to be learned in there somewhere. Anyway, the possibility now of a high-stakes showdown between the two chambers is on the horizon. That should be interesting. Senate versus House. I wonder who would win. And also, people are worried what might happen with the financial markets. And they're due to open in Asia almost any minute now, I think. Yeah. So everybody's on the edge now. Nobody knows what's going to happen. The Senate would refuse to accept any changes to the bill, according to a Senate aide. It appeared increasingly possible that Congress could push the country over the fiscal cliff after all, despite months of effort. Let's just say Republicans are pushing the country over the fiscal cliff. Can we say it that way? House Republicans, because Senate Republicans apparently are okay with this. Anyway, it was supposed to happen on the 1st, which is today, but obviously, and you know, no one mentioned this until the 1st. I was thinking it for weeks beforehand. Hey, the 1st is a holiday, so none of this can really go into effect right away, right? Because it's a holiday, and that wasn't even mentioned in the media until we were into the 1st. And, well, yeah, actually, we have until the 2nd, because today is a holiday. All right, great, no kidding. So, lawmakers were given a little more time without any true consequences falling on top of all of us. And I also have to wonder, you know, even if they reach an agreement sometime on the 2nd, does that mean our taxes rise for, like, 6 hours or something and then go back down? Do we still have to pay those taxes? Can we just roll it back? Are services cut just for part of the day? You know, so many questions. But obviously, if they don't agree to it right at the deadline, and they agree to it shortly after the deadline, well, unlike going over a real cliff, we somehow get pulled back and we don't fall down. It's a stupid analogy, and I've objected to it from the beginning. The Senate bill drew overwhelming support from Republicans and Democrats alike when it passed, get this, by a vote of 89-8. 89-8. And that's a larger margin than they passed the FISA wiretapping without any warrant bill, extending that again. That's a whole other story. Republicans, though, who control the House, expressed wide dismay with the measure, which includes only $12 billion in spending cuts, along with $620 billion in tax increases on top earners. Okay, check that out. $12 billion in spending cuts, as opposed to $620 billion in tax increases. Seems like we're making that okay. Maybe we don't even need to cut the $12 billion, but we probably should. I'm sure it's being wasted. But that's how much extra money comes in from these tax increases on the richest Americans. For people who think it's just pennies. No, it's a lot. It does add up. Majority Leader Eric Cantor, the number two Republican in the House, told reporters after huddling with other Republicans that he does not support the Senate's bill. The lack of spending cuts in the Senate bill was a universal concern amongst members in today's meeting. Conversations with members will continue throughout the afternoon on the path forward. Now, they're in session now, I believe. They return for a second meeting at 5:15 p.m. You know, they've got it so easy over there. They really do. They take these long vacations. They only work certain hours of the day. They don't show up half the time. And they make all kinds of excuses for not getting things done. So I have no sympathy for people that have to work long into the night, because most people in this country do that anyway. Anyway, as I've been saying, Republicans could face a backlash if they scuttle the deal. Income tax rates rose back to 1990s levels for all Americans at midnight. And across the board, spending cuts on defense and domestic programs could begin to kick in on Wednesday. Okay, so I guess our tax levels are back up to 1990s levels. Not really sure how bad that is, but I guess if the income doesn't go with that, probably is pretty bad. Economists say the combination of tax cuts and spending cuts could cause the economy to shrink, and public opinion polls show Republicans would shoulder the blame. So it's going to be interesting. Might want to turn on C-SPAN tonight after Off the Wall, and after Finn, too, who comes on from 7 to 9, and see what happens. Yeah, it'd be interesting. Personally, it's a milestone for me. This is the year. This is very close to the day, actually, where I say goodbye to a trusted friend of 20 years. 20 years officially is the amount of time I've had my car, my 1993 Tercel. And it's time to move on, time to go somewhere else, to do something different. 270,000 miles on this thing. It's been everywhere. Well, it hasn't really been everywhere. I haven't usually rent cars when I drive cross country, but it's been around. It's been through a lot. I realize now that this is the car I've had for every single Hope Conference from the beginning, from the first one back in 1994. And it still runs. It still runs. It doesn't run well, but it does run. And it's only tried to kill me twice. The two times it tried to kill me is when something in the front snapped, and all of a sudden, one of the tires was facing 90 degrees in a different direction than it should have been. Going at a high speed, that could have been really bad. I was fortunately just making a turn at the time it happened. Second time it tried to kill me was a couple of weeks ago when I had put oil in it. Yes, it does burn oil. And the hood didn't latch because that's all fouled up as well. And driving down the highway at highway speeds, the hood suddenly pops up and stays up. And that's a moment where you really have to have good reflexes. And I had to stop without seeing what was in front of me. I had to put on my flashers and get over to the side of the road without hitting anybody or having anybody crash into me from behind. But I did it. But I'm not waiting around for the third attempt because that's usually the one that's successful. So it's time. 20 years with one car. Simply incredible. And one of the last things that my car had to do yesterday, in fact, was be part of a funeral procession. And I've never done that before. I've never actually driven. I think I might have done it once for a few blocks in Queens, but this was a much longer one. This is one where you have to be on a highway, and it's really an interesting thing to do. Obviously, it's a sad occasion, but I'm also, in that way of mine, I'm fascinated with what's going on as far as how things work, how things are set up. And they have this whole system when you have a long line of cars. And I don't know why this is, but I don't see as many funeral processions as I used to see. When I was a kid, I used to see them all the time. And I don't know if people just don't do that anymore, or maybe I'm blind to it or something. I see them more in foreign countries, but I don't see them very much here. You used to be able to tell, I guess, because cars had their lights on in the daytime, and now everybody has their lights on, so you don't really know. But the hearse is a dead giveaway. Oh, boy, that's a bad pun, isn't it? Well, I don't see many hearses either. Not driving around, anyway. But in any event, they have this system where you have, say, 20, 30 cars in a procession. And, well, what happens if the light turns? I even asked the guy this. So what do we do about lights? I said, obey the lights. You can't go through lights. At one point, I think you could, but you can't anymore. Everybody gets this little card that you stick on your mirror. It says funeral. I still have mine. In fact, it's still in my car. And you basically all line up and put your flashers on, put your headlights on. And there's a car in the front and there's a car in the back. And these cars, unbeknownst to most people, are actually run by the funeral guys. And they communicate by flashing lights. And maybe they talk in a two-way radio. I don't know. But if anybody misses the light, a signal is sent to the hearse, and the hearse pulls over, and everybody pulls over behind them, and they all wait. And I was, you know, basically watching this while I was driving and learning how this all works. You know, I have enough trouble trying to keep a system like that going with two people, two cars, without losing each other. And here they are corralling over 20 cars and keeping them all together like a herd of cattle. So it was interesting. That was one of the last roles my car had to had to fulfill, and it did it admirably. Didn't stall out or anything like that, nothing embarrassing. And it was a fitting send-off to another friend and a very interesting way to close out 2012. So changes are ahead, whether it's economic changes or things becoming legal that used to not be legal or some fewer people around than you used to, or changing some of the devices and tools that you've been using for many years. 2013 could be a milestone. Will be for me in some ways anyway. With that, I'd like to now journey back in time. If you recall, we have been playing some British shows over the past few weeks. And this time, we're going to go back over there. Last year, Kyle and myself were over in England for a number of things, mostly taking pictures of surveillance examples, which England is known for. And those are all displayed on the surveillance calendar, the hacker calendar of 2013, with all kinds of examples of what surveillance is all about. In fact, that calendar starts working today. So where we pick up, I think last week we were still lost trying to get back to Manchester. We're going to skip all of that and move ahead to after we left Manchester, and we're on our way back, I think, to Sheffield or Chesterfield, in that particular area of England. And, well, we'll just let the audio speak for itself, and we'll be back in just a little while. So here we are in England. I believe this was May of 2012.
So,
how long do you want me to hold your hat for?
Oh, yeah, I'll hold it now. Right. Yeah, well, where the heck are we, E?
Well, it should be...
It's really loud.
It should be obvious where we are because, well, people listening, listen carefully. What do you hear? Right, okay, it's a highway, correct, but listen carefully.
What kind of right? highway?
No, let them listen. Okay, I think people are getting it. You see, the traffic is moving on the opposite side of the street. So cars are driving on the left. We're staying by the highway, but the cars are driving on the left-hand side. And, well, that's unusual because it doesn't happen in our country. But it does happen in other countries.
Right.
And we're in one of those countries right now, as previous recordings have indicated.
Yeah.
We're in England. Which is where the whole English thing started.
English languages? You're talking about English language,
English,
right?
English football, the English Premier League, BBC, cricket, rain. What else is England known for starting? Bubonic plague, I think.
Famous for the plague.
Yes. So, yeah, you know, we've been driving around. We just drove from Manchester. We're back sort of around Sheffield, and I think we're heading towards Chesterfield. Is that the name of the place we're going to?
Yeah, we're on our way to Chesterfield.
Yeah. And just standing here at a rest stop watching traffic go by, it's kind of cool.
Yep.
Trucks are different here. They have three wheels in the back, and I guess that doesn't make them 18-wheelers. Hang on, I got to do some calculations here. They've got one in the front, two in the middle, and sometimes one of those ones in the middle is raised up and not moving. And then they have three in the back. So, but okay.
And they're not double wheels in the back.
Oh, they're not. Because...
See, that's different because the States only has two, but usually they're dual in the back.
Okay, so an 18-wheeler in the States, you count the tires, right? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
All right, so you got four in the back. You got two in the front, so that's six. And you got how many in the middle in the States? Is it one or two per side? Let's say it's one. So then we're up to eight. So then we add the two from the back, and that brings us up to two on each side. That brings us up to 12. So how do we get the other six?
I don't know why they call them 18-wheelers.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a spare.
Hang on, two. I knew this once. Let's see. Two in the front. Let's say there's two wheels in the middle, and they're doubles. So
right.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, so then we're up to 10.
Right.
And then let's say, yeah, and then there's another 8 in the back. That's 18.
Right.
Okay, so then what are these? These are...
6 in the back.
And then that double, you said.
And 1, 2, and then sometimes, okay, so that's 4,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
8,
6, 7, 8,
6
9,
and
10,
8
11,
is, yeah, 12. So it's same.
No, it's not. It's 12 instead of 18. There's 6 less over
there. I still don't believe that American trailers really have 18. I haven't seen 18 on a trailer.
No, you count the tires twice. If they're double tires in the back, you count them twice. Now, you're right. These are not doubles. These are not double tires. So you can only count each tire once. But in the back of an American 18-wheeler, you have 2 tires on each side. Each one is double. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in the back. Same thing in the front, in the middle, 16. And then the 2 tires in the front, 18.
Oh, okay.
That's
all
how
right.
you do it.
Hey, that's great.
All right, I'm glad we settled that.
Yeah, I was worried we wouldn't be able to.
I'm sure we'll get letters of people correcting us as to how wrong we actually are. But you know what? It's okay. We're good being wrong. We're good at being wrong, too. So we're going towards Chesterfield, and we're heading back to London later. Don't really know what we're going to do next, but wasn't Manchester an amazing city?
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed Manchester. It was pretty approachable, some cool neighborhoods. We went to a hackerspace there, showed us around. Seems kind of neat, a good... There's a couple community radio stations. We're really enjoying that, actually, on the way out.
Radio Peace at 90.1 FM.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to get USB over here near Manchester, probably going to get some interference from Radio Peace. So don't hold it against them. They do really good good broadcasting.
So you're telling me... You must be kidding. You can't even get USB at Stony Brook.
All right. You know, I didn't want to bring that up, but yeah, okay, our signal sucks. But maybe our signal is better over here than it is over there.
Probably.
Hey, it can't hurt to try.
Yeah, maybe there's some British pirates that are rebroadcasting over here on shortwave or something. Who knows?
Yeah, it's possible. But
God, it was cool. It was cool. Manchester's cool. You know, I was thinking it would be grittier or like older or more medieval.
But sure there are parts that are.
Yeah, but it's a proper city, right? I mean, they've got a couple towers, and it's thriving. I don't know, really neat. A lot of youth. Everything closes early, though.
Well, that's the way it is in a lot of cities. Things just shut down.
You see people hanging out of bars at like 11, and you're like, oh wow, it's the life of the city. And what you realize is they're being kicked out, well, or whatever.
Every bar in England used to close at 11 p.m.
See, that's just terrible.
But it's a great way of controlling the masses because, for instance, in London, every pub closes at 11. You have an hour to, like, maybe go to a chip shop and hang out there.
Right.
But at 12, the underground shuts down or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And then the only way to get home is night bus if it goes to your area.
Yeah.
So it's a great way of controlling. Same thing in Japan. Tokyo, there's the last train. You think Tokyo is a 24-hour city, but really, at midnight, you're kind of screwed. There's no way home. So you have to finish by then. And the reason they do it that way, they say, is because people would work themselves to death otherwise.
Yeah.
They have to, like, tell them to go home. So we spent some time hanging out outside. I guess that was a bona fide pub, wasn't it, the first night in Manchester, where we had a bunch of really crazy beers and some cheese and crackers and meat and...
Well, it was a really hip place. It was they had a bunch of... It's a brewery.
Yeah.
Like a brewery, and it wasn't... It was just sort of a small shop, very modern. A bunch of people were in there, sort of young professionals and whatnot, enjoying the ale. And it was all organic. They were big into organic stuff. They had a lot of their beers, and then they also had some sort of imported and bottled stuff. So it's quite a selection. And they did. They came out with a sort of a cheese and meat platter. And we tried, like, all these funky, funky cheeses from all over. And it was really, really tasty. And we had a bit of their local organic stuff straight out of the casks. And then we also had some interesting Belgian beer that was really, really strong. It was almost like a champagne, very bubbly and crisp and very alcoholic. They were joking that we'd be able to see the fumes coming off of them.
We had trouble the next day when we woke up. The building sort of was moving, out of fairness. I don't know why, but...
Well, it felt like it was on a giant trampoline.
It felt like it was moving a lot more than it should have been.
Right.
And I guess that's the way to wake up in Manchester, because
it's a close second to waking up on a bench or something, or in an alley.
Which sometimes happens. In fact, we talked to a number of people who did wake up on benches. In fact, one guy lost some fingers because he got frostbite from sleeping in the street. these were people that just kind of were circling around the block.
Yeah.
We'd stop at our table. We'd chat with them for a while.
Just meandering through.
We'd give them some pounds and help them out a bit. And it was that one woman who just...
Oh, she was great.
How do you describe... What was her name again?
Linda.
Linda.
Oh, she was just... lively, that had a thick Cockney accent, and just came up and was just talking to us, not like, you know, a destitute, you know, sort of panhandler sort.
No.
She was happy. She was, you know, probably pretty lit, but happy.
Oh, she was lit. Wasn't it Cockney? Do they have Cockney in Manchester?
Yeah, I don't know if that's probably the worst term possible, probably even insulting, but
well, Cockney,
it was a thick...
I think East London, I think.
Sure,
right.
Okay, fine.
But Manchester might be related to us. It sounds the same. And I couldn't understand a word she was saying.
Yeah, how about undecipherable accent?
She was there for about 20 minutes. She sounded happy, but I did not... I mean, I couldn't figure it out. I needed subtitles, and there weren't any.
Yeah. And in fact, I don't know, we listened for some time, and she was razzing us and asking, trying to get a cigarette, and she was just really... it was sort of an endearing moment. We couldn't help but love the interaction, and that was, I guess, the flavor we were going for.
Yes.
And I think that was a bit of a sliver kind of that we were anticipating, and we certainly got it. They delivered in Manchester.
Very warm.
It was neat.
You feel like family in that place.
And, and the guys we were with, they seemed to kind of know the people, and it was a real sort of welcoming bit. Like, hey, come over. Yeah, you can talk to us. You know, it wasn't... Yeah, we're outside. It's late. Why not? You know, we're drinking. It wasn't interrupting some major deep conversation anyway.
You know how that is when in the States, or in various places, I guess, if a homeless person comes up to you and tries talking to you,
right?
You know, you ignore them, or you look away, or you say no, go away,
right?
Weird things like that. Here, they were engaged. They had conversations. They even seemed to know each other,
yeah,
to a degree. I'm not sure if it's like that with everybody, but it was nice to be drawn into that dynamic,
right?
And actually have maybe not a meaningful conversation, but a pleasant one, and
exist as equals.
Pretty much, and just sort of share back and forth and the pleasantries of the night. Obviously, you know, we have it a lot better off than they do, but it doesn't mean that we can't converse and, you know, be happy together and hope that things get better.
Right.
And help out if we can, you know?
Yeah.
Our friends were always doing that. They're always giving money to
absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. I noticed that. He had a handful of change and, you know, plunked a couple pence. I don't even know.
Pounds.
Pounds. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, guy was grateful and went about his way, you know. Really, really neat. So what else? Yeah, I don't know. Manchester is just a fun city.
Yeah.
You have to excuse me. Sorry, my allergies are kicking up a little bit.
Don't worry.
It's windy.
We'll edit that out.
Okay.
We stayed in a hostel. I think we talked about this. We stayed in a hostel, which was really, really cheap and very nice. Nicer than a hotel we were staying at in London.
Yes, with all of about 20 minutes planning, we managed to find this place. We went to one place that was a really old school pub that had rooms for rent, but they said they were full up, and that might have been an experience in and of itself. But the next place we went to was a bit of a hostel, and we were able to get a really nice suite in there.
Mm-hmm. I think this is really the way to do it, because, you know, we rolled into Manchester. We didn't even know if we were going to stay in Manchester. We just knew that, we want to rent a car in Sheffield.
Right.
Because we wanted to visit somebody in Chesterfield, which is near Sheffield. And we heard from people in Manchester through the radio show. And are you finished?
I think I'm done. Sorry, I'm allergic to grass. So.
I think you're allergic to radio. You're allergic to good radio, because that's what this is, right?
Right.
By the way, listen to WUSB Stonybrook, 90.1 FM. Please contribute when you can. All right. But we basically arrived in Sheffield, got our car, but we didn't know where we were going to stay. At the last minute, I said, you know what, let's have the car for 2 days, not one.
Right.
Because we're going up to Menwith Hill, and then we're going to Manchester, because we had just heard from people in Manchester through the radio show.
Right.
We're going to need some more time. Getting the car back in 24 hours isn't reasonable.
And true to form, we readjusted, and it worked out pretty fantastically.
But we were in Manchester. We didn't know, are we going to stay there? Are we going to go somewhere north? And then we talked to our friend Dave in Manchester, who we had never met before, and said,
right,
look, is there a place we can stay? You know, we like the whole shameless experience of Manchester. That's why he tried to hook us up with the room on top of the pub.
Yeah.
But that was taken, unfortunately. But there was a hostel right down the block next to this amazing breakfast place. And we worked the whole thing out in like 5 minutes. So to all those people have to plan every moment in advance, you don't have to. This is the way things work out. You can make changes at the last minute, and it still can work out even better.
Yeah, if you can be agile and adjust, you know, that's it's a way to do it. It's definitely doable, and I don't know. We made out all right.
Yeah, and you know, we have we're going back to our old hotel in London tonight.
Right.
But we don't have a room for tomorrow because they're sold out. So I don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea.
Yep.
There are other people we might visit, so plans could change at the last moment. I like it like this.
Yep.
This is the way to travel. I cannot plan things, you know, weeks, even days in advance, you know, to a degree.
Right.
But, you know, this whole trip was kind of planned a week or two in advance.
Yeah.
And worked out. Price-wise, it worked out. And we're having a great time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, folks, don't make a big deal out of it. Just do it. And that goes to those of you thinking about going to home. Just do it already. Just do it. Just get on the goddamn plane and don't worry about Homeland Security, you know, and the fingerprints and the pictures and all that crap.
Right,
sorry,
right. As if your country isn't tracking or taking data on you. Right. America's the only country doing it. All you hoity-toity, you
yeah,
holier than thou.
Europe.
Anyway,
You think you're better than us? You want to fight about it? Come over to the States, and we'll show you.
Yeah.
We'll show you how cool things can be, even though the people running things are total... Yeah, I'm sorry. I just had to get it out of my system.
No, it's okay.
But, you know, I'm sick of hearing excuses.
Well,
everyone always has excuses. Yeah. Oh, I can't travel overseas. It's too expensive. Come on already. It's expensive to stay at home, too.
Yeah, it is.
You know what's expensive? It's living out your entire life without having new experiences and adventures. That's expensive.
Yeah, there's a cost to that.
Yeah.
Cost of being boring.
On your deathbed, say, wow, I wish I had done that. You know, I'd rather be on my deathbed saying, I wish I hadn't done that, you know.
It might not be here so soon, but yeah.
But at least it's an experience of sorts.
Absolutely, yeah, and...
We don't mean to be so harsh on our listeners, but just come on, get up off your asses and do stuff.
Yeah.
You only live once, maybe you live more than that, but for all we know, you only live once. Have fun, see places, experience things, meet people.
Yeah, 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 and you won't regret it, and... Yeah. I don't know. I feel better for it. And every foreign person I've talked to that has come to visit, much in the way we do, has been someone I've, you know, maintained contact with and that you know, enjoyed it and benefit from it and much in the same way that I have. And so it's definitely accessible to people if they can get past their own cynicism and resignation.
Yeah. And it's hard, you know... We have the same problems with ourselves occasionally. We assume things will be a certain way, and almost always they're different.
Yeah.
You know, we think negatively sometimes. It's a human thing to do, and that's true back home. That's true when you travel.
Yep.
But if you're open to being wrong, if you're open to sometimes things working out in a different way, oftentimes that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So where do we go from here?
Well, we're supposed to go to Chesterfield next. And then we have to get the car back to the rental place. Hopefully it won't be as hard to find when we're returning the car. You've been great as a navigator. Because, you know, it can be really hard. Like we've talked about before, the highway system is very different here. You know, we're standing by a mega highway. We're standing by the M1,
yeah.
Which I think is the biggest highway in England.
Yes.
But most of the roads aren't like this. They're like A56 or something. And it's like a two-lane road. And, you know, it seems like every 50 feet there's a traffic circle and you got to... Not only be in a traffic circle, whipping around, trying to get off at the right exit, but you're going in a different direction. So that can be really hairy, and you've been very good at directing me and correcting me, too, whenever I go off in the wrong direction.
Yeah, well, not to mention the people cutting you off in the middle of the roundabout. Which
you know, a roundabout is not the place for lane changes, but apparently people like to do that.
Yeah.
And I remember when my first moments in the car at Sheffield, it was really... pretty hairy. I almost didn't make it 20 feet out of the place.
Yeah, but
right to the car.
I think now we're hitting our
stride. Collided immediately with something.
Sure. Right, exactly. It was, we actually had to go around. Was that a Michigan actually?
What?
Did I just pop into a Midwest accent?
Well, it could happen.
Actually? We actually had to go around the block.
That's more a Minnesota accent.
No.
Yeah. And I'm Manitoba.
Oh, yeah, actually, Little Manitoba,
Manitoba
there.
Minnesota. You know those two places? The reason why they sound so similar is because people mix them up all the time and they're near each other.
Wow.
Minnesota, Manitoba. I made that up, but it's believable, and they are close to each other.
Yeah, so you know, I'm sure someone will write in and agree with you.
I'm going to establish it as fact. You want to fight about it?
No.
All right.
But we went around the block just to get our bearings. But I really think we've hit our stride at this point. You're definitely, you're less angry with the car and fighting with it less.
I didn't hit any bicyclists today.
Intentionally, right?
No, I didn't hit any at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And
but I think we're smoothing out a bit. I've gotten a little better at helping with the directions, and it just seems like we've had less hiccups getting out here.
Stop using insulting names after you give me directions, like moron, idiot,
damn it,
yeah, things like that. And I think it just works better when you say, make the third left this time, you know, when I've been around the roundabout like four or five like cycles,
right?
And you say, okay, now turn there, and you just leave it at that, and you don't use the epithets and nasty,
right? And like twist
religious things and all kinds of things related to the shape of my head, you know.
Well, yeah,
I know it's hard. I know it's difficult to resist that, but it just makes for the drive to be more pleasant for me.
Yeah, I'm just glad I don't have to physically grab your chin and turn your face towards where I want you to go.
Yeah, you see, that's what I'm talking about, making those kinds of references to the shape of my head.
My arm was starting to hurt because I had to really force you to look at where I wanted you to go.
Think of my arms, or your arms. My arms are getting better.
Oh, yeah. How are your nettle wounds from looking for my phone yesterday?
Yeah, I've got, you know, it's still a bit reddish. It's not nearly as itchy.
I was looking up remedies for nettles. There's several. You can take mud. There's a certain plant that grows near nettles that you can rub on them. You can use aloe vera to stop the inflaming. And did you know that nettles have a histamine? They have something else that's like a bit of an irritant. They also have serotonin in them.
Is that right?
Yeah, nettles have serotonin, which is a bit weird. I don't know if it's the same serotonin. Anyway, I was looking into the nettles.
Why would there be two different kinds?
Yeah, I know, right? So you should actually feel good when you get stung by them.
Yeah, I was really getting into being stung.
You know, like, it should be euphoria. But
it was like rolling into a hornet's nest.
Or maybe it's the poison. You can also, use tape to try to pull the needles out.
Wait, you mean I have needles stuck in me right now?
Yeah, they're very tiny little needles, and that's what happens.
Whoa.
That's why you're not supposed to rub them, because it irritates you. You're supposed to dab it with a cloth.
Hold on just a moment. Now, if there's needles inside, how do the needles
I'm still
come
listing
out?
Remedies. I got a couple
well,
more.
I want to know how the needles eventually come out. Do they ever come out?
They sort of dissolve.
In my flesh.
Well, yeah, as you heal, they kind of degrade. It's a thin little tiny needle. It's not very much bio, but they're basically stuck in you, and you're supposed to use tape or something to pull them out or dab it off. And what happens is if you rub it, when you're told you're not to rub it, because it just irritates it and spreads it. You're also not supposed to, after you dab it, you're not supposed to touch your face or your mouth, because you could get the needles in your mouth and then it spreads it.
Well, that ship has sailed, because I've been touching all over.
Right. Another remedy is baking soda. You can make sort of a paste.
Baking soda can't.
These
do?
Are all things we didn't have, by the way.
But you know what I did
except,
have?
Except the last one, which is urinating on them. And that's supposed to help, too.
Well, let's leave that out for now. But
you're a trooper. You just let it go, huh?
I just dove in. But the thing I did have, which, you know, I could slap myself for.
Yeah.
In my knapsack, I had a long sleeve jacket. I could have just put that on, but I didn't even think about it.
Right.
You know, I was like, that would have solved the whole thing if I just gone back, put on the jacket, and then started diving through.
Right.
Didn't think about it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was trying to tell you that it wasn't worth it, and it was really sweet of you to work so hard to try to help me, because that phone was coming in handy as far as navigation, and I certainly didn't want to have to buy more hardware and make more people dig for coltan in Africa. But
we have a history of finding the things that we lose.
Yes.
And I wasn't about to let that, you know, not be, be carried forth like it's tradition.
So
it had to be done.
Yeah, no, and we did in good form. And we're back on the road, back in the saddle, as it were, and I think we're in a good place.
That's a train car.
Whoa.
That truck is carrying a train car. That's under wraps, but you can see it was a train car.
There's planes on trains where I come from, because the airplane manufacturer in my neighborhood rolls them by. That's a train on a tractor.
I've seen tractors on trains. Never seen a train on a tractor.
And planes on trains, but that's a train on a tractor.
Have you ever seen a plane on a truck, a lorry?
No.
Well, that's next.
All right. We'll have to keep our eyes peeled.
All right. We're standing here by the M1, just south of Sheffield, I believe.
Sheffield, yes. On our way to Chesterfield.
On
meet our
way to Chesterfield.
A few other people. We want to see a bit of a suburban take on the area.
You know, Chesterfield, I know this from listening to old-time radio, was a cigarette manufacturer. Do they still make cigarettes, Chesterfield?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Chesterfield pleases women and men or something like that. It was some kind of song that they used to play.
Huh.
And, you know what? I haven't seen people smoking Chesterfields in a while.
Well, we'll have to keep our eyes peeled.
I wonder if there's a relation between that and this. But we'll have to find out, I suppose.
Well, all part of the mystery and exploring fine places like Great Britain.
Yes. It is great. It's been a lot of fun so far. Now we're going to get back in the car and drive around a bit more. We have to put some petrol in the car.
Yes,
They don't use gasoline. They use petrol here. So I'm not quite sure how that works, how that's going to be different.
Yeah,
so
and apparently it's around 140 per liter, which is pretty high prices.
140 what?
Well, I don't know. It just says 140 and then that decimal place and then some change, which seems like really high.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to put my credit card in there and hope for the best.
Yeah, well, we complain about high prices, but that seems like a lot. I mean, a 2 liter is what a pop is in, and... Wow, 140 pounds
for
a liter.
We've used pretty much exactly a tank on this rental car. So.
Nice.
But, you know, it's awfully weird because we started off from Manchester today, and Sheffield was only about 40 miles away, but it took us, like, over 2 hours.
Yeah. It's basically because these highways stop in every neighborhood with a roundabout.
Yeah,
it's
do.
Like a super highway stopping with a roundabout in your neighborhood.
But I think it's also open to interpretation as to how far away you are because
right.
going through one town, it says Sheffield is 35 miles, and then you drive for about 20 minutes, and you see a sign, Sheffield, 33 miles. It's like, what, did you get further away somehow and slowly get back on track? It doesn't, and then the next one is like 25 miles 3 minutes later, so everyone seems to have their own opinion as to how far away things are. But whatever, we'll get there eventually.
Well, yeah, I think I think what you're experiencing is the English mile.
Absolutely. We have to get out of this parking lot, though, because this parking lot is monitored somehow.
That's right.
And if you stay longer than 2 hours, you have to pay. But I don't see how they can possibly know you were here for longer than 2 hours, but they know.
Yeah.
We know they do know because they have cameras everywhere. They have sensors. They're always watching.
Right.
Always watching.
Right.
I'm holding up the middle finger in this hand and the two-finger thing in this hand. And I inadvertently
flipped
off.
What a fusion.
I flipped off a truck driver by accident. Two truck drivers, in fact. I'm sorry. They might be coming back to discuss that at some point.
Wow, we really should go then. Okay.
Yeah. You can do it in two different ways in England, though. You can do the middle finger, and you can do the index finger and the middle finger,
yeah.
and do the upward motion.
The Nixon motion,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, not the peace sign. You turn the peace sign around and just sort of move upwards. They know what that means.
It's the Nixon greeting.
Shall we get on the road again?
Yes.
Get some petrol and move onwards? And
Please.
Okay, cool.
Okay, signing off here. So long.
And that was a recording from May of last year by the side of the road, by the side of the M1 outside of Sheffield over there in England. And thanks to Kyle for being a good sport about all of that. And we have all kinds of other things to play as well in the weeks ahead. So you can look forward to that. New adventures up ahead. 2013 is going to be amazing in some ways. What's going on right now?
And Mr. Speaker, I rise in strong opposition to H.R. 6726, which would extend the...
They're still doing that over there in Washington. They're rising in strong opposition and doing all kinds of other governmental things. So, yeah, I guess you can watch that all night long if you really want a thrill and see just how we're being led down a very dark path. Or you can listen to WUSB. Finn's coming up next and all kinds of other... fun things throughout the night and over into the overnight and into tomorrow. Just keep it tuned all the time. And with the internet, you can do that very easily, no matter where you are. Okay, here, if you're planning on going into space, you might want to consider this possibility. Radiation in space. I was just doing some reading while that was playing. Radiation in space might harm the brains of astronauts by accelerating the development of Alzheimer's disease. So certainly if you have Alzheimer's or know somebody who does, space is not the place to send them. Or if you don't want to be have your risk go up a little bit if you think you might be a candidate for this. The study shows for the first time that exposure to radiation levels equivalent to a mission to Mars could produce cognitive problems and speed up changes in the brain that are associated with Alzheimer's disease. So, yeah, another reason not to go into space from the anti-space people. Actually, that comes from space.com. But still, it's something to be concerned about. I guess let's cure Alzheimer's first and then go into space as much as we want. I think that sounds fair enough. Speaking of science and things that I'll never understand, this is just ridiculous. There's a review of almost 100 past studies that cover about 3 million people. And researchers have found that being overweight or slightly obese was linked to about a 6% lower risk of dying. Oh, I said that fast, so you might not have caught it. Being overweight or slightly obese was linked to about a 6% lower risk of dying. Yes, compared to people who are considered normal weight. So those of you out there who are complete schmucks trying to lose weight so that you can be quote-unquote normal, apparently now being slightly overweight or even slightly obese might be healthier. No, I you know, I usually believe everything I read. I do. This makes life a lot easier. But no, not this. This can't be. This doesn't make any sense. How can being obese, this, by the way, was sponsored by McDonald's, but I don't think that has anything to do with it. How could being obese in any form be considered healthy? Look at the animal kingdom. How many obese animals do you see running around? You don't, because they don't run around and they don't live very long. The idea that being somewhat overweight could be linked to better health has been dubbed the obesity paradox. Even though I think it's a paradox in general, even though actual obesity is generally not associated with the apparent benefit. So if you're obese, like really obese, like you mean it, apparently you don't get health benefits from that. But if you're just flirting with obesity, according to this, you might actually live longer. It's not fair. It's not fair. No, it doesn't make any sense. Now, this is based on past findings that suggest overweight and obese people, even those with additional health problems, live longer than their thinner counterparts, even those with additional health problems. Now, some, and this is probably something that I would argue, some have argued that the pattern is a statistical one only because being thin, especially in old age, is often a sign or a result of serious illness. So the thinner people seem to have higher mortality. So, yeah, I guess, you know, if you are measuring somebody who's in the final stages of a disease and he weighs 45 pounds or something, yeah, you know, that's probably not a good candidate to compare to somebody who is fat and hasn't developed any diseases yet. So, keep an eye on this. But I really I don't think being slightly obese should be a goal of anybody, or even being overweight should be a goal of anybody. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I guess maybe if you're going out into the tundra and you're not going to be eating for a long time and you intend to feed off your own fat, maybe that's a good time to be a little bit overweight. But, you know, no, it doesn't make any sense. Here's something out of North Korea that just happened today as well. An unusual televised address for the new year. Apparently they don't do that. And you'd think they would. But North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has made the unusual New Year's address, and he wants to diffuse tensions with South Korea and also boost the economy of his impoverished nation. An important issue, he says, is in putting an end to the division of the country and achieving its reunification is to remove confrontations between the North and the South. Yeah, almost anything emerging from the isolated North Korean kingdom, did I say kingdom? I meant to say regime, but it is kind of like a kingdom, is bound to be parsed by analysts seeking clues to its next steps, but it's striking that Kim gave such a speech at all. His father, Kim Jong-il, rarely spoke in public and signaled his annual plans through state newspaper editorials. The younger Kim has cultivated a more accessible style since taking power, showing up in public with his young wife and repeatedly addressing the North Korean people on television. Such gestures seem reminiscent of his grandfather, national founder Kim Il-sung, the great leader, who routinely spoke on the New Year. Now, despite the call to make peace, some experts were skeptical that it signaled any dramatic shift by North Korea. The regime prizes its military might. Kim emphasized later in a speech delivered just a few weeks before, after North Korea launched a rocket to loft a satellite into space. And supposedly that satellite is up there right now. We don't know what it's doing. But that's definitely a milestone. Now, dialing down tensions after the launch could eventually be linked with the North's call for aid from the South, according to analysts. Such a move does not necessarily mean any change in the North Korean regime's policy towards the South. So, it's interesting to see what's going on over there and to watch the differences in the way certain words are used. Okay, we are pretty much out of time on this first show of 2013. We'll probably have some more British stuff for you next week. You can write to us, otw@2600.com, with your words of praise or criticism or whatever else you feel like sending us. Again, otw@2600.com. Please write to us. We love reading your emails. And I guess we have to go out with something appropriate for something that starts a little smoother. Something appropriate for the new year, it being a new year. We'll go out with something appropriate. Again, Finn's coming up next with 2 hours of something you can't hear anywhere else, guaranteed. Oh, and wait, let's just check in on the house for a moment.
We haven't made an 11% drop in actual spending in 2 years.
Okay, they're going to go at it for a while. If you want to torture yourself, go to C-SPAN and watch that. It's Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Happy New Year. See you next week. Good night. Let's make believe that we are wealthy for just this once. Riding fire.